Have a blessing, everyone, on this a little cloudy over here, but you can still see the brightness of the light in the sky. I hope you have fair weather wherever you may be on this blessed Sabbath, July 13, 2024. This is our review of our chapter 80 entitled In Joseph's Tomb, Part 6 of our lesson 412. Welcome, everyone. We are going to hand back our Tiny Tot theme song of our lesson entitled Tell Me the Old, Old Story. You can find it in the book of the hymns in number 196. And I'm going to send it now to our dear brother.
Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story softly, with earnest tones and grave. Remember, I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always, if you would really be in any time of trouble a comforter to me. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the same old story when you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Yes, and when that world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old, old story of Christ Jesus makes thee whole. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask the little ones by the help of their parents or elder siblings if they would pray for the review section of our study. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning, and please protect us. Please protect the word that we're going to learn. And please protect people that can hear that talk, not hear one while they can come back to the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray,
amen. Amen. Here once, this is the section that we are going to ask any one of the remnant family what the little one has been a blessing to their household, the mommies, daddies, family members, in whatever way to glorify God. If you would like to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
God blessings everyone. For today's mommy's and daddy's little blessing, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma again for taking the time to learn new hymns and scripture songs. They're always wanting to write, and I pray that the Lord will give them the words and the melody to continue to write songs or poems, and they're so eagerly ready to help and to share those songs. So I pray that the Lord continue to put a melody in their heart and that they may be able to write it and sing it to his honor and to his glory and continue to be a blessing to us all. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And whenever they're ready, they can be able to also share it with their remnant family, that they can be blessed as well and glorify God for the wonders that he is doing with the little ones among us. Is there any other family that would like to share their ones before we proceed? We are going to continue in our study. It is time for our precious little tiny thoughts to review the lesson from last Sabbath of our chapter 19 entitled Judas, part 2 of the story about Jesus, and I'm going to hand it to our dear brother so he may share.
All right, the Bible lesson, Bible verse for our lesson is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 26 and 7. Verse 15 says, "And Jesus and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you." Guess who said that? That was Judas. "And they covenanted or agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver, just the price of a slave. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." The tall form of Judas was seen pressing through the startled crowd. His face was pale and haggard, and large drops of sweat stood on his forehead. Rushing to the throne of judgment, he threw down before the high priest the pieces of silver which had been the price of his Lord's betrayal. He eagerly grasped the robe of Caiaphas and begged him to release Jesus, declaring that he had done no wrong. Caiaphas angrily shook him off and said with scorn, "What is that to us? See thou to that." Judas then threw himself at the Savior's feet. He confessed that Jesus was the Son of God and begged him to deliver himself from his enemies. The Savior knew that Judas did not really repent for what he had done. The false disciple feared that punishment would come upon him for his terrible deed. But he felt no real sorrow because he had betrayed the spotless Son of God. Yet Christ spoke to him no word of condemnation. He looked with pity upon Judas and said, "For this hour came I into the world." A murmur of surprise ran through the assembly. With amazement, they beheld the forbearance of Christ toward his betrayer. Judas saw that his entreaties were in vain, and he rushed from the hall, crying, "It is too late! It is too late!" He felt that he could not live to see Jesus crucified, and in despair went out and hanged himself. This is taken from the story of Jesus, pages 121 and 122.
Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we are going to be able to continue with part 3, will be the last part of this particular chapter. In our tiny talk lesson book, the story about Jesus, and that will take place July 20th, 2024. We are going to hand it back in to our dear brother so he can share the review questions.
All right. How is Judas described pressing through the startled crowd?
The answer for number one, his face was pale and hard and haggard, and large drops of sweat stood on his forehead.
Pale and haggard. It was pale. It was kind of white. And he looked like he had been through the mill. What did Caiaphas reply when Judas begged him to release Jesus? Oh, sure, I'll let him go then if he's not guilty, huh? Is that what he said?
The answer to number two is, what is that to us? See thou to that.
Yeah, he says, we don't care if you've betrayed your master. That's on your head. You've got to give an account for that. And Judas will. When the New Jerusalem comes down and the names of the apostles, I think, are on the 12 foundations, Judas will find that his name is not there. What did Jesus say as he looked at Judas with pity?
For this hour, the answer to number three is, for this hour came into the world.
And I
entered
the world.
That's right. He said, this is what I'm here for, Judas. I came to die for the sins of man. And this is how it's happening. I came for what's happening. And Judas couldn't bear to see Jesus on the cross. And so he went out and hung himself. Two men died that day. One for his own sin and one for our sins. Let's love the man who died on the cross for our sins. Back to you, Rose.
Amen. And indeed, dear brother, thank you so much. It's time for a little tiny talk, some parents to be able to hear all the review that has been done through the precious lesson of God's creation in nature, in our topic, Mammals of the Bible. And let's have a listening ear for our dear brother will share.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning the mammals of the Bible. Our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book of Luke chapter 15. And the lesson is the lesson 3, the Good Shepherd. In verses 6 and 7 says, when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which mean no repentance. The lesson is lesson to domestic animals of the Bible. And the memory verse is, as you remember, is Genesis 1:28, King James Version. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And the character quality of the story is care versus indifference. Care is to have an interest and concern about another person, as Christ cares about me, or in this case, us. Nature, the mammal of the Bible, domestic, a sheep, and the shepherd cares for the lambs and sheep. He would like us also to care for his lambs and sheep. And that's of course us. Okay, rejoice, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Luke 15:6. When the straying sheep is at last brought home, the shepherd's gratitude finds expression in melodious songs of rejoicing. He calls upon his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. So when a wanderer is found by the great shepherd of the sheep, heaven and earth unite in thanksgiving and rejoice. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You Pharisees, said Christ, regard yourselves as the favorites of heaven. You think yourselves secure in your own righteousness. Know then that if you need no repentance, my mission is not to you. These poor souls who feel their poverty and sinfulness are the very ones whom I have come to rescue. Angels of heaven are interested in these lost ones whom you despise. You complain and sneer when one of these souls joins himself to me, but know that angels rejoice and the song of triumph rings through the courts above. Christ Object Lessons, pages 189 to 190. And it says in the square above of the picture, rejoice. The sheep wandered away from the fold, and it was lost in the wilderness or upon the mountains. The piece of silver was lost in the house. It was close at hand, yet it could be recovered only by diligent search. Christ's Object Lessons, pages 193 to 194. And this small reading says up top, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, Isaiah 53:7. And now the last words of love are spoken, the last tears are shed, the last embrace is given. The father lifts the knife to slay his son, when suddenly his arm is stayed. An angel of God calls to the patriarch out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham. He quickly answers, here am I. And again the voices were, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Then Abraham saw a ram caught in a thicket, and quickly bringing the new victim, he offered it in the stead of his son. And in his joy and gratitude, Abraham gave a new name to the sacred spot, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 152 to 153. It says in the picture above of the bighorn sheep, or also another name for the ram, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1. And above this says, the sheepfold, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. John 10:1-2. And the square below, talks about a little diagram project. And the materials needed are cotton balls, a black or white pipe cleaners, squiggly eyes, a white felt, and a black felt. So you're free to find any materials those in the store if you don't have them. Or to use in the free time. The directions to do the project is 1, make the sheep Eve to put into the sheepfold. 2, glue 2 cotton balls, cut one smaller together. 3, next, glue the legs, which are the pipe cleaners, and eyes to the sheep. 4, cut ears out of white felt and glue on the head. And finally, 5, cut small eyes and a nose out of black felt and glue on the face. And below says, color the sheepfold. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. And first, remember from one of the flowers in the Sussler's garden, the hydrangeas, it says there are some of the most beautiful flowers in the world. The facts you need to know if you love hydrangeas. Hydrangeas are first cultivated in Japan. Their name has a Greek origin. Hydor means water, and angos means jar or vessel, emphasizing the need to water this particular flower often. The colors are determined by the soil. The ideal pH levels for each shade are as follows. Blue, below 5.5. Purple, between 5.5 and 6.5. White, between 6 and 6.2. Pink is over 7. If your soil has varying pH levels, you could end up with a blend of colors. Flowers can drink through their sepals. There are over 75 species of hydrangea. They contain low levels of cyanide. The red letters mean, warning, saying you don't eat the hydrangeas. Although the amount of poison they contain is small, it's enough to cause sickness or even seizures in both humans and pets. Next is the snap peas from he's from Sister Cece's garden. Oh, sorry, Sister Joan, Sister Michelle's garden. The snap pea, also known as the sugar snap pea, is an edible pod pea with rounded pods and thick pod walls, in contrast to snow pea pods, which are flat and with thin walls. The name mangetout, mangetou, mean French for eat all, can apply to snap peas and snow peas. Snap peas, like all other peas, are pod fruits. An edible potted pea is similar to a garden or English pea, but the pod is less fibrous and is edible when young. Pods of the edible pod pea, including snap peas, do not have a membrane and do not open when ripe. At maturity, the pods grow to around 4 to 8 centimeters, or one plus 1.5 to 3 inches in length. Pods contain 3 to 9 peas. The plants are climbing, and pea sticks are trellis or other support system is required for optimal growth. Some cultivars are capable of climbing to 2 meters or 6 feet, 7 inches high, but plants are more commonly around 1 until 1.3 meters or 3 feet and 3 inches to 4 feet and 3 inches high for ease of harvest and cultivation. In nature is the beast of chase, deer, and they're all given the different classifications names of the deer, or what each names they have. The male deer are called bucks, the male moose are called bulls, male red deer are called stags or harts, the female deer are called does, female caribou are called cows, the female red deer are called hinds, most young deer are called fawns, and young elk are called calves. And next to that category is this one, all the deer of the world. The names of some members of the deer family. The caribou, the elk, the marsh deer, the moose, the mule deer, the musk deer, the reindeer, and the red deer. And below are the three deer of Bible lands. Well, ones that actually be seen during Bible times. Well, one is the roe deer, two is the fallow deer, and three is the red deer. The deer family are very noble mammals, the highest evidence of nobility in a Christian is self-control. It says that in the next category, in the next square, next to the categories, God's people are called meek, merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. And below that says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 42:1. And below says, a hart or stag is the male deer, and pant means to yearn for or bray. Next in this category is about the soursop and the jackfruit. Soursop or jackfruit have green, prickly skin. They are not related fruits. Soursop belongs to the Ananassiaceae family, which includes other fruits like sugar apples. Jackfruit belongs to the Moraceae family, which they have distinct differences in their appearances, tastes, and uses. Soursop or guanabana is a soursop or guanabana is a popular fruit in Jamaica. Graviola and Brazilian pawpaw are names given to the soursop fruit in other parts of the world. A scientific name for soursop is an Annona muricata. The soursop tree is widespread throughout the Caribbean, Central and South America, and Southeast Asia. Soursop trees grow best in warm, humid climates with ample rainfall, so they flourish in Jamaica. The soursop fruit tree is evergreen and can grow up to 30 feet tall. Here are some of the health benefits of a guanabana or soursop. One, cancer prevention. Two, soothing diabetes. Three, prevents gout. Four, antimicrobial property. Five, arthritis prevention. Six, immunity boosting. Asthma. Seven, asthma prevention. Eight, allergy soothing. Nine, blood pressure regulation. 10, cholesterol lowering. 11, removes parasites. 12, prevent depression. 13, facilitate digestion. 14, eye health. 15, insomnia prevention. 16, kidney ailments. And 17, healthy liver. And here are the benefits of the jackfruit. It says, as many eat the title, that they have 140 grams. Best to eat in one serving of jackfruit, provides 133 calories, percent RDA. And around are the different minerals that they have in this fruit. 10% is magnesium, which promotes healthy bone density. 7% is omega-3, which benefits heart health and reduces inflammation. It's rich in antioxidants, essential for bone health and preventing fractures. 13% is potassium, which is necessary for maintaining normal blood pressure and kidney health. 35% is vitamin B6, which is needed for a healthy brain and nervous system. 5% is vitamin A, which is necessary for a good vision, healthy immune system, and cell growth. 4% is iron, which enhances oxygen transport and supports energy production. 21% is vitamin C, which is powerful antioxidant and crucial for producing serotonin. 6% is fiber, which keeps digestion system healthy and benefits diabetes, cholesterol, and weight control. 12% is vitamin B1, and which is essential for glucose metabolism, nerve, muscle, and heart function. And finally, 3% is calcium, which is needed for healthy bones, teeth, and muscle contraction. Not only is this fruit high in antioxidants, flavonoids, and vitamins, but the flesh of jackfruit, when cooked, is said to resemble pulled pork and used as an alternative by vegans all over the globe. The seeds are also edible once cooked. Similar to chestnuts, they can be roasted or boiled. Then next is info about the common starling. The common starling has about 12 subspecies breeding in open habitats across its native range in temperate Europe and across the Palearctic to Western Mongolia. It has been introduced as an invasive species to Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United States, Mexico, Argentina, South Africa, and Fiji. This bird is resident in Western and Southern Europe and Southwestern Asia, while Northeastern populations migrate south and west in the winter within the Green Range and also further south to Iberia and North Africa. The common starling builds an untidy nest in a natural or artificial cavity in which 4 or 5 glossy pale blue eggs are laid. These take 2 weeks to hatch, and the young remain in the nest for another 3 weeks. There are normally 1 or 2 breeding attempts each year. This species is omnivorous, taking a wide range of invertebrates as well as seeds and fruit. It is hunted by various mammals and birds of prey and is a host to a range of external and internal parasites. Okay. Continue our reference reading for the mammals of the Bible of our lesson review, taken from our ERP Youth Study Book, The Christ Object Lessons, Chapter 15, This Man Receiveth Sinners, Part 2. It was taught by the Jews that before God's love is extended to the sinner, he must first repent. In their view, repentance is a work by which men earn the favor of heaven. And it was this thought that led the Pharisees to exclaim in astonishment and anger, "This man receiveth sinners. According to their ideas, he should permit none to approach him but those who had repented." But in the parable of the lost sheep, Christ teaches that salvation does not come through our seeking after God, but through God seeking after us. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. Romans 3:11-12. We do not repent in order that God may love us, but he reveals to us his love in order that we may repent. Christ Object Lessons, pages 189, paragraph 1. When the strange sheep is at last brought home, the shepherd's gratitude finds expression in melodious songs of rejoicing. He calls upon his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice in me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." So when a wanderer is found by the great shepherd of the sheep, heaven and earth unite in thanksgiving and rejoicing. Christ Object Lessons, pages 189, paragraph 2. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You Pharisees, said Christ, regard yourselves as the favorites of heaven. You think yourselves secure in your own righteousness. Know then that if you need no repentance, my mission is not to you. These poor souls who feel their poverty and sinfulness are the very ones whom I have come to rescue. Angels of heaven are interested in these lost ones whom you despise. You complain and sneer when one of these souls joins himself to me, but know that angels rejoice, and the song of triumph rings through the courts above. Oh, the lack of deep, soul-touching sympathy for the tempted and the erring. Oh, for more of Christ's Spirit and far less of self. The Pharisees understood Christ's parable as a rebuke to them. Instead of accepting their criticism of his work, he had reproved their neglect of the publicans and sinners. he had not done this openly, lest it should close their hearts above against him. But his illustration set before them the very work which God required of them, and which they had failed to do. Had they been true shepherds, these leaders in Israel would have done the work of a shepherd. They would have manifested the mercy and love of Christ, and would have united with him in his mission. Their refusal to do this had proved their claims of piety to be false. Now many rejected Christ for proof, yet to some his words brought conviction. Upon these, after Christ's ascension to heaven, the Holy Spirit came, and they united with his disciples in the very work outlined in the parable of the lost sheep, the lost piece of silver. After giving the parable of the lost sheep, Christ spoke another saying, "What woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it?" In the East, the houses of the poor usually consisted of but one room, often windowless and dark. The room was rarely swept, and a piece of money fallen on the floor would be speedily recovered by the dust and rubbish. In order that it might be found, even in the daytime, a candle must be lighted, and the house must be swept diligently. Christ Object Lessons, pages 189 to 192. And here in review are 3 bonus questions. You can find the answers in the study and through the Bible. Question 1 is, what did the shepherd do when he returned home with the lost lamb? The answer is in Luke 15:6. 2, what happens in heaven when a sinner repents? The answer is in Luke 15:7. And the last one is 3, read Zephaniah 3:17. And I'll turn the mic back to Mama.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And dear son, I apologize for the computer was going pretty fast. But praise God that you were able to remember the page. And remember, little ones, tell me the old story. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and his love. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening song to our theme, it's a hymn entitled Because He Loves. And you can find it in number 526 if you would like to join to sing the song along the words. You unmute your mic to do so. God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He live and die to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives.
How sweet a hope A newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance his child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen.
Amen. And life is worth the living just because he lives. If any one of the little ones or elder sibling would like to open our review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up to this morning. And please protect the Sabbath day that we're going to start now. Please protect the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. And please protect everybody who's in the Sabbath and not in the Sabbath. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Colossians 3, 1 through 4, King James Version margin. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek his things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. So what have we learned and ways we have grown, dear ones, before we hear the answer to the questions? Or anything that you would like to share with the Dear Remini family, we are going to take a few minutes to reread our part 6 of our lesson entitled In Joseph's Tomb in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Continuing, the mourning cries of the suffering ones brought home thousands of minds. The conviction that a great light had gone out of the world. Without Christ, the earth was blackness and darkness. Many whose voices had swelled the cry of "Crucify him! Crucify him!" now realize the calamity that had fallen upon them and would as eagerly have cried, "Give us the message blocked my sight from the following words."
It's okay, Dad. I will help by God's grace. Give us Jesus, yes. And he's still been alive. Desire Ages, page 776, paragraph 3.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who would like to take the next paragraph here once? May you unmute your mic?
Desire of Ages, page 776. When the people learned that Jesus had been put to death by the priests, inquiries were made regarding his death. Particulars of his trial were kept as private as possible, but during the time when he was in the grave, his name was on thousands of lips, and reports of his mock trial and the inhumanity of the priests and rulers were circulated everywhere. Next slide, please.
Desire of Ages, page 776. By men of intellect, these priests and rulers were called upon to explain the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Messiah, and while trying to frame some falsehood in reply, they became like men insane. These the prophecies that pointed to Christ's sufferings and death they could not explain, and many inquirers were convinced that the scriptures had been fulfilled. Desire of Ages, page 776, paragraph 4.
The revenge which priests had thought would be so sweet was already bitterness to them. They knew that they were meeting the severe censure of the people. They knew that the very ones whom they had influenced against Jesus were now horrified by their own shameful work. These priests had tried to believe Jesus a deceiver, but it was in vain. Next slide, please.
Some of them had stood by the grave of Lazarus and had seen the dead brought back to life. They trembled for fear that Christ would himself raise from the dead and again appear before them. They had heard him declare that he had power to lay down his life and to take it again. They remembered that he had said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." John 2:15, Desire of Ages 7:77.
The Desire of Ages, page 777. Judas had told them the words spoken by Jesus to the disciples while on the last journey to Jerusalem. "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Matthew 20:18-19. Please, next slide, please.
When they heard these words, they had mocked and ridiculed, but now they remembered that Christ's predictions had so far been fulfilled. He had said that he will rise again the third day, and who should say that this also will not come to pass? They longed to shut out these thoughts, but they could not. Like their father, the devil, they believed and trembled. Desire of Ages, page 777, paragraph 1.
Continuing. Now that the frenzy of excitement was past, the image of Christ would intrude upon their minds. They beheld him as he stood serene and uncomplaining before his enemies, suffering without a murmur their taunts and abuse. Next slide, please. All the events of his trial and crucifixion came back to them with an overpowering conviction that he was the Son of God. They felt that he might at any time stand before them, the accused to become the accuser, the condemned to condemn, the slain to demand justice and the death of his murderers. The Desire of Ages, page 777, paragraph 2. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, for not only giving us a chance, Father Jesus, but to make a way in the darkest time. So what we learn and ways we have grown, dear ones, we have held the sixth question from the first part of our lesson of part six, and we are going to read it out for those that are not able to see the screen. And they are in the devices, and we're going to ask if you are moved to be able to share your answer with the dear little ones and family. You can be able to do so by unmuting your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And number six, what did you learn from this lesson? Who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
So the main characters in the story is Christ and the priests and the Pharisees and the mob and everyone that was involved. Whether they were observing the crucifixion or they were a part of it.
The answer to question two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? The people inquiring about Christ's death and the rulers fearing his return.
I believe the story takes place when Christ dies on Calvary.
The answer for number four, when did the story begin? This section of the story began when Christ was crucified on the cross and then was laid in Joseph's tomb. And that's when we see that the people ever the more was looking for him, and the story of how he was crucified and his trial was spreading.
And how could I relate to the story? Well, I wonder which side of the picture I would have been on if I had been there. Would I have yelled, crucify him? Or would I have taken his side in the deal? You know, and recognized that somebody innocent was being slain.
My answer to question six, what did I learn from the lesson? Learned that wanting revenge or payback doesn't bring good results. So the Pharisees, priests, and rulers all thought that once Jesus was dead, that they were finally happy now that he wasn't what they were thinking, misleading the people from people, and that they could have their way, have the people come to them again. But best if they see how people are mourning the loss of their Redeemer and remembering what Jesus said while he was alive, that when the event would happen in 3 days, he will come again, and that brought instead of being satisfied, they were afraid what if it came true, then they would be the ones in trouble. They would think Jesus would come back and reveal that they were responsible, that they were accusers, and that thought made them more than a little skittish.
I would like to add that when Christ was in his journey and was prophesying all the things that were going to happen to the people, many of them had a lot of prejudice or hate or dislike or whatever it may be that they held on to, that he was not saying the truth or whatever it is. But once he died, those thoughts came back to their minds, and then they could not dismiss them. They had to face the things that he was saying, and everything that he was saying was coming to pass, and they wondered, will he also be resurrected? So yeah, they couldn't dismiss the thoughts. They dismissed him in life, but they could not dismiss the thoughts.
Amen. I would like to share what it is that I have learned and I observed. If you notice that in nature, in order for us to have good harvest, it says the fruit has to fall on the ground. And the Lord, by him dying on the cross, it brought a great harvest. In such a manner that even those that was not sure of who he was, and how even the Pharisees, Sadducees, and whatever of the Sanhedrin didn't want Jesus to be known for why he came here. When he died, everything that they was trying to conceal was magnified. People were still coming looking for the Savior and what it is that he had done for them. Some of them was looking for the sympathy, the pity, the love, the words, everything that they was gaining while he was alive. Now it became even more while he was laying on the tomb. So it doesn't matter what it was that they were planning. With the death of Christ, they had actually allowed it to come not only to the area where Christ came to minister, but it went all over the world. His fame, everything that he has done, it was now brought to the ears. People were speaking more about it. Before, they was afraid of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees was going to do, or how they was going to be dismissed from the temple. But when they saw how glorious the Savior was in their life, they really didn't care anymore or being afraid of what was going to happen. They was just so sorry in some of them that they didn't even give him more time that they would have gave him when he was alive. It's the same thing today. When the Holy Spirit, through the Lord cry and the third angel's message, will continue to awaken many people about the life, the resurrection and the death of Christ, many will be awakened to not be ashamed anymore to share the gospel, even if they lose loved ones, friends, even if they have been removed from the things that they love the most, which is the churches today. The Lord still is calling them out and still calling them out to himself. And we are so grateful that we have the opportunity to see the story, but at the same time, we could see the plan of redemption as a whole for times such as this. I wanted to share that. And there is something else that I did observe. If you notice that it did say that Judas, because we have the story about Judas in the children's story, but also in the children's story, it says that he wasn't wicked all the way. But because of what it is that he had handed himself to his temptation, he became completely possessed of what it was that he loved the most, and that was the money and power and recognition of being something important. If you notice on this particular slide, I'm going to go back just to give you a preview. Okay, notice this. It says Judas had told them the words spoken by Jesus to the disciple while on the last journey to Jerusalem. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Notice that he did say that, but at the same time, he was the actual person that did the very thing he shared with them. And that is something we all have to be able to understand. We do not know what we are capable of, but if we don't allow the word of God to be able to resonate and pray that the Lord will be able to be the one to move in us, because our flesh does not understand spiritual things. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So Christ would have been the one inside of Judah that would have recognized what it was that he made Judah to utter. But because Judah did not open his heart to Christ, he became the very culprit to do what it was that he was sharing with them. This is what I have observed as well. Is there anybody else that would like to be able to share? Welcome to all the dear family that are joining us. We are going to continue. We have thoughts, our favorite poem, and also special music. Our thought is taken from our study book. This one is in the Spirit of Prophecy, this Ministry of Healing, Chapter 1, entitled Our Example. We are going to read from pages 17, paragraph 1 to 2, pages 19, 1 to 4, and page 22, paragraph 1. Our opening scripture is taken from Matthew 8:17, King James Version, and it reads, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmity and bear our sickness. Who would like to take the first paragraph here once? May you unmute your mic.
Our Lord Jesus Christ.
We can hear you, dear sister Christina. If you have other devices nearby, if they're muted, they won't have the echo sound, okay?
Our Lord Jesus Christ came to this world as the unwearied servant of man's necessity. He took our infirmities and bare our sickness, that he might minister to every need of humanity. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. The burden of disease and wretchedness and sin he came to remove. It was his mission to bring to men complete restoration. He came to give them health and peace and perfection of character. Ministry of Healing, page 17, paragraph 1. do so on the other slide, just to the other side of the page. Varied were the circumstances and needs of those who besought his aid, and none who came to him went away unhelped. From him flowed a stream of healing power, and in body and mind and soul, men were made whole. Ministry of Healing, page 17, paragraph 2. Thank you, Sister Lucy.
In all things he brought his wishes into strict obedience to his mission. He glorified his life by making everything in it subordinate to the will of his Father. When in his youth, his mother, finding him in the school of the rabbi, said, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us?" His answer was the keynote of his life work. "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Luke 2:48-49. His life was one of constant self-sacrifice. He had no home in this world except as the kindness of friends provided for him as a wayfarer. He came to live in our own behalf, to live in our behalf the life of the poorest, and to walk and work among the needy and the suffering. Unrecognized and unhonored, he walked in and out among the people for whom he had come to do so much. Ministry of Healing, page 19, paragraphs 1 and 2. He was homeless when he was here. When someone didn't invite him home to sleep, he went over to the Garden of Gethsemane and slept on the dirt.
He was always patient and careful, and the afflicted hailed as a messenger of life and peace. He saw the needs of men and women, children, and to all he gave the invitation to me. During his ministry, Jesus devoted all time to healing the sick and preaching. His miracles testified to the fruit of his words that he came not to destroy, but to save. Wherever he went, the tidings of his mercy preceded him. Where he had passed, the object of his compassion were rejoicing in help and making trial of their newfound powers. Crowds were collecting around them to hear from their lips the works that the Lord had wrought. At what? His voice was the first sound that many had ever heard. His name the first word they had ever spoken. His face the first they had ever looked upon. Why should they not love Jesus and sound his praise?
He passed through the towns and cities. He was like a vital current diffusing life and joy. Margin, Ministry of Health, Healing, page 19, paragraph 4. Never was... Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's go test it. Sorry.
It's okay, Dad. Brother Joel, you can continue.
Okay. Ever was there such an evangelist as Christ. He was the majesty of heaven, but he humbled himself to take our nature that he might meet men where they are. To all people, rich and poor, free and bond, Christ, the messenger of the covenant, brought the tidings of salvation. His fame as the great healer spread throughout Palestine. The sick came to the places through which he would pass, that they might call on him for help. Hither, too, came many anxious to hear his words and to receive a touch of his hand. Thus, he went from city to city, from town to town, preaching the gospel and healing the sick. The King of Glory in the lowly garb of humanity. The Ministry of Healing, page 22, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a poem, and the poem is entitled The Wandering Sheep Restore. This will be part one, and we're going to have part two the next time we have the review. This was taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 3, pages 79 and 80, from the Sunlight Education Ministry of the Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute yourself.
Number 1. I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. I was a wayward child. I did not love my home. I did not love my father's voice. I loved afar to roam.
The shepherd saw the sheep, the father saw his child. They follow me over vale and hill, or deserts waste and wild. They found me high to death, famished and faint and lone. They bound me with the bands of love. They saved the wandering one.
They spoke in tender love, they raised my drooping head. They gently closed my bleeding wound, my fainting soul they fed. They washed my filth away, they made me clean and fair. They brought me to my home in peace, the long-sought wanderer.
We are going to continue with part two the next time that we have our review, dear ones. Thank you for participating. And our special music is taken from The Desire of All Nations, which is the study book that we have, from the scripture, Sing a Song in the section Promises in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 to 6, King James Version.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6.
Amen. Dear ones, we are going to hold the testimony section after all the services. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will end with our part 7 of our chapter 80 entitled In Joseph's Tomb. And that will take place July the 20th, 2024. And that will be lesson 413. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies or elder siblings or our guests would like to close our family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our knees and our heads. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. We thank you once more, Father Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you, Father, for bringing us once more, Father, to learn about you and to be blessed in this day. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine in this neck of the woods. We pray and hope that everyone is having a beautiful Sabbath where they are. It is nothing else because of the Sabbath day. We pray for the sick in our midst. Continue to be with our dear brother Rob as he continues to heal. And also please be with our sister Rosie as she takes the lead. Be with her, provide things that she would say and do. May everything be to your honor and glory, Father. Continue to bless us, I pray. Be with the little ones. Continue to bless them and in their participation. Please be with their parents as well. Be with all of us here as we continue to the next section. Continue to bless us ever so much more, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Dear Holy Spirit, may you continue to lead Father Jesus and give us ears to hear and heart to learn, Father Jesus, according to your divine providence. For our closing scripture and also our quote from our book, The Prophets and Kings, page 83, paragraph 1. In Isaiah 33:6, it reads, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." And from a quote, it reads, "Here is the only safeguard for individual integrity, for the purity of the home, the well-being of society, or the stability of the nation. Amid all life's perplexity and dangers and conflicts claim, the one safe and sure rule is to do what God says. The statutes of the Lord are right, and he that does these things shall never be moved." Psalms 19, verses 8. And also Psalms 15, verses 5. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, until we proceed with the other service by God's grace. God bless everyone.